during COVID up until probably end of last year, early this year, you could get a rate in the twos. I could go get a 30-year fixed rate mortgage at 2.75%. That same loan right now is probably 5.25%. What does that mean? Well, that means if your payment was $3,000, now it's $4,500. So that's a pretty big difference. What I believe that we're going to see is we will see softening in some of our housing markets that are not as strong of markets. Meaning, yeah, prices might drop a little bit. I really think what we're going to see, and this is primarily based off the fact that people have so much equity in their homes. If you go back to 08, I think the average home equity was somewhere around 30 or 40%, meaning that they owed about 60, 65 cents on the dollar, 70 cents on the dollar. Now it's more like 40 cents, 35 cents on the dollar. So there's a lot more equity in homes because we had such a quick run-up in home prices. What's up, gang? Welcome to The Greatness Machine. I'm your host, Darius Mirshazadeh. I'm so pumped to have you here with me. Now listen, The Greatness Machine, we're about two things. Number one, people who are living their passions. And number two, those who are creating greatness in the world and doing both of these things despite the odds against them. Each episode, we're going to feature interviews with game changers, business leaders, telling us their origin stories, what made them tick, what got them to where they are now. Why? So it can help you step into your greatness within your life, your business, and your career. Occasionally, you might hear a few solo episodes from myself, moi as I say, as I leverage my 20 years of entrepreneurship as a CEO and founder to help you grow and level up in your journey to scale your life and your business. So come be a fly on the wall, enjoy the conversation, and I'm stoked to have you here with me. What's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of The Greatness Machine. I'm your host, Darius Mirshazadeh, and today we have a special guest. It's moi doing a solo for y'all. And I wanted to talk about something that's going on right now that I'm seeing a ton of noise in the media about. Are we in a housing bubble? Are we in a housing bubble? And so, first of all, I want to give you some of my qualifications to speak on this topic. I was in the and continue to spend time in the mortgage space. My last business, The Money Source, was one of the top lenders in the United States, one of the top largest lenders in the United States. I think the biggest we got was top 20 in the United States. So when you, there's a quote that I love in business, which is people that pay attention. And for me, I was paying a lot of money managing billions and billions. We managed, when I was CEO, about $30 billion in mortgage assets. A company now manages about $100 billion in mortgage assets. So, am I a housing economist? No. Am I an expert in the sense of I managed a shit ton of assets that were affected by the housing prices? Heck yeah. More so than probably most of these economists out here who are just being paid by folks like myself when I was CEO of TMS. So, I've been seeing a lot of noise like, oh, we're in a housing market. Oh, the housing market. This is another 2008 again. And I just want to say this. I'm going to call bullshit. I don't agree with it. Now, does that not mean that certain parts of the housing market are going to take a haircut? Maybe. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. But I want to walk everybody through what happened in the last housing crisis, because I was at the eye of that storm. I was running a subprime mortgage lender. We made lots of exotic loans, and lots of our loans didn't perform. And so having made, hundreds of millions of dollars of those loans, I got a front row seat, grab your popcorn, and I had mine, that's for sure, and then some, and got to watch exactly what happened to those assets and why it happened. And the reality is this. That was a housing market where at its peak, it was the biggest. I want to say there was 4, 5, or 6 trillion. I think it was 4 trillion in mortgage origination that happened. And this is a combination of purchases and refinances in 2007. So we had, I could be off on that number, but if I'm off, it's by either the year or slight a trillion here, a trillion there. It was definitely 4 trillion plus. And I want to say it was 06 or 07. I believe it was 06 was the year that we had that big of a mortgage origination year. To put it in perspective, if you fast forward to pre-pandemic, we were doing $2 trillion-ish every year, half of what we did at the peak in 2006. So these were record years of mortgage origination. Huge, huge loan amounts, people paying up, people going into negative amortized loans where you're not even paying the minimum interest on the loan. Short-term arms, lots and lots of exotic lending, non-qualified mortgages, subprime mortgages, we called them Alt-A mortgages back then. So you had a lot of people going into homes, not proving their income, and then getting a house that had really a payment that they potentially could not afford in the future. And so what ended up happening in 8, 9, 10 was a lot of these folks, you know, we saw a huge correction in housing prices. Some markets were down as much as, you know, over 50%, depending on the market we're talking about. I remember I had owned a house at the time in Utah, a vacation home with my brother and one other person. And we had bought the house for, you know, $387,000. And a year, this was in September 2005. And literally the next year, it was worth over $600,000. So you saw housing prices more than double in very short periods of time. And lo and behold, by 2009-10, that house, I could probably would have been lucky to get $300,000 for it. So this is a house that lost half its value. That happened all over the United States. We saw housing prices, some plummet even more than that. And so what you end up having was this dilemma of, you know, millions and millions of homeowners who owed more on their home than the home was worth. If I had bought the house at $600,000 and now it's worth $300,000, well, you know, how long do I have to stay in that house for before I break even on that? And the reality was you had to stay in it for, you know, close to 15 years. So what ended up happening was a bunch of people had, you know, they're upside down on their mortgages. They couldn't afford the homes they were in. And they said, screw it, I'm just going to walk. You know, I'm like, I don't need this burden of debt hanging around my neck. Now, there's other, you know, things going on at the time, too. You had a lot of unemployment. You know, you had a recession. So it was a perfect storm for a huge credit market collapse. And we saw that happen because of what happened at the banks. This was a banking crisis. Lehman Brothers went out, Bear Stearns went out, AIG almost went out, Morgan Stanley almost went out, Bank of America almost went out, right? We had some major issues in the credit markets. The banking system almost collapsed. They had to step in, and it was because of all these mortgage assets that weren't performing the way they were supposed to. And for people that don't remember this, this was during 2004, 5, 6, 7, there was a sentiment in the market that was, oh, home prices will never go down. Literally what people would say. That was like the home prices will never go down. And it was kind of a ridiculous statement, but what ended up happening was they did. And when people were upside down, they said, why am I paying this? I'll walk. There was a huge business that came out of that called a loan modification business where they were going and negotiating with the banks. So say you owed $500,000-$600,000, they'd go and negotiate and say, well, you know, we'll how about you forgive $300,000 of debt and my client will pay you $300,000. You know, and that became a big business during that time frame as well. And so that was the precipice of that market. That's what created that housing crisis, which led to home values dropping dramatically. What happened after that is why I don't think we're in a housing crisis right now or a bubble, was lending standards tightened like you've never seen. And I was in the front row. I was a creator of that. I was someone tightening lending standards, offering the new tightened lending standards. There was no subprime lending. There was no private securitization. There was no stated income loans. There was no discounted cash flow, DSCR loans. You know, there was none of this stuff that, I mean, you can get some of the stuff now. There was hardly any interest-only lending. It was straight up middle of the fairway, normal Fannie Freddie conventional lending for the most part. And then if you wanted something more exotic, you had to go down the GSE route of a Ginnie Mae loan. My business happened to specialize in Ginnie Mae lending, which is your FHA, VA, and USDA lending. So those were were for first-time home buyers and veterans and people in lower-income areas, lower down payment, but it's all insured by the government. And the lending standards for those were a little bit looser, but still, compared to what was happening in, you know, 04, 05, 06, back then you could have a loan that literally you paid under 1% of interest on your payment, and then 2 years later your payment would go up to 9%. This is like chocolate and Mars, like not even chocolate and vanilla, not even apples and oranges, chocolate and the planet Mars. That's how different of the worlds we're talking about. And so in this market, it was 30-year fixed mortgages, very few ARMs, adjustable rate mortgages, mostly 30-year fixed mortgages, very vanilla lending, very tight lending standards. And that was the truth between 09, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Up around 2019, we started seeing some of the more exotic stuff come back, but it came back for a hot second. There's a lot of rules around this now because of a law called Dodd-Frank, and they have a new system called qualified mortgages. So you can't even give the exotic products even if you want to because they're barred by law. And so the entire housing market that we saw come out of the 08 debacle was a housing market of clean lending, very clean lending. and people couldn't borrow. The other thing that happened that was different was back in like the early 2000s, early aughts, appraisal market was kind of the wild, wild west. I could just go pick an appraisal and they give me an appraiser and that's the appraisal. Nowadays, you have to go through an appraisal panel and they're cutting values and it's really stringent appraisals. And we see that a lot nowadays. So this is a very different housing market than existed 15 years ago. So when people start saying, oh, it's another housing market, this is another 2008. I'm like, shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. That's just an untrue statement. And so now what we have seen though, and this is where there's probably some risk, and this is the one thing I would pay attention to if I'm wondering what's going to happen near term to housing, is we saw interest rates go to unprecedented lows. And they had a very violent upturn recently to near term highs. What do I mean by that? I mean, you know, during COVID up until probably end of last year, early this year, you could get a rate in the twos. I could go get a 30-year fixed rate mortgage at 2.75%. That same loan right now is probably 5.25%. What does that mean? Well, that means if your payment was $3,000, now it's $4,500. So that's a pretty big difference. What I believe that we're going to see is we will see softening in some of our housing markets that are not as strong of markets. Meaning, yeah, prices might drop a little bit. I really think what we're going to see, and this is primarily based off the fact that people have so much equity in their homes. If you go back to 08, I think the average home equity was somewhere around 30 or 40%, meaning that they owed about 60, 65 cents on the dollar, 70 cents on the dollar. Now it's more like 40 cents, 35 cents on the dollar. So there's a lot more equity in homes because we had such a quick run up in home prices. Now, does that mean if you just bought a house that you have that? Maybe, maybe not, depending on how much of a down payment you put. But the reality is we have way, way, way less debt against the assets than we had before, meaning that people have a lot more home equity. And if we go back to what happened in 2008, you had a bunch of people upside down on their houses who walked. They said, I'm better off renting. And that's just not the case. If I have, you know, if I only owe 30 cents on the dollar, let's say my house is worth, you know, $600K and I owe $200K on it or $300K on it, and it drops down to $400K and I owe $300, it's like, well, I still have $100,000 of equity. So you could literally have a home drop from $600 down to, you know, $400. But if I only owe $300, which is kind of what we're talking about right now, is people owe, you know, $250,000-$300,000 against a house worth $600K. You know, if it drops to $400K, like, they still have equity in their homes. They're not going to walk. No one in the right mind is going to walk, especially if they have a safe mortgage, meaning, yeah, I have a 2.5%, 2.75% 30-year fixed interest rate. Well, yeah, of course I'm not going to like walk from my house. I have $100,000 of equity. Yeah, it was way cool. I felt way richer when my home was worth $600, but now it's worth $400. And I'm saying that has not happened. None of what I just said has happened. I'm saying if that happened, that's the scenario we're looking at nationwide right now. So I firmly believe that we do not have a housing crisis or housing. We're not in a housing bubble across the board nationally. Does that mean that there's some markets that have, you know, gone up too much and, you know, there's not as good of, you know, macroeconomic, you know, jobs and whatnot in those little areas. And maybe those home prices will drop 20, 30% or people, you know, who got into those homes might go upside down on them a little bit because they didn't put enough of a down payment on them. And maybe will you see some strategic foreclosures? Maybe. But I think it's going to be very minimal. And we just don't have the banking crisis we had 15, 14 years ago that we had back then today. I was talking to, you know, a good friend of mine, a former guest on the show, and Chris Schelling, we were talking about it. He just said, look, man, like, that was a banking crisis. And this is, you know, what happens next, you know, in the next crisis we have, will look different. And so when people are trying to compare 2021, 22 to 2007 and 8 in the housing market, I just say, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. Now, I want to give you an example though, because my sister, for instance, she owns a house in Long Beach, California that she bought for, I think, $675,000. That's now worth $1.1 million, right? That house, you know, is a two bedroom, one bath, beautiful little bungalow in a cool little area, but it's not nothing fancy. And, you know, it's a starter home without question. Her and my brother-in-law and my niece and nephew live there. And so if they wanted to sell that house and some other starter family moved in there, and they had to pay $1.2 million for it, they put, call it 10-20% down. Say they put 20% down, they're putting $240,000 down on that house, and they're going to have a mortgage payment of $6,000 to $7,000. When I see stuff like that, it makes me wonder: is that how their home price is going to go down potentially? And so, yeah, I think there might be some softening of home prices. But I think what's probably more likely to happen is you're going to see less transactions happen. because people have gotten so equity rich in their homes in such a short period of time, and rates shot up so quickly in such a short period of time, that what we're seeing right now is there's a shortage of housing, meaning there's a shortage of inventory because people are like, well, I'm not going to sell my house because I got to go buy another house and pay way higher interest rates. So I'm just better off staying where I'm at. And then you see the people on the buy side that are like, wow, man, like I expect to pay my payment to be $3,000, not $4,500. And so I'm just going to stay where I'm at. So we're seeing the short-term shock situation where people just are just not trade. There's no trades happening. Less trades are happening. That will help maintain the value short-term is because you're going to have, you know, supply is low, demand may be, you know, the same, let's call it. Well, if supply is low and demand is the same, my microeconomic listeners might know that that means price is going to, you know, go up. Let's even say you have a softening of demand. If it's softening less than the supply, prices will go up. So I think minimally, you're just going to see less transactions in the near term. If rates stay at this level or keep going up, which I don't know if they will, you know, who knows? I'm doubtful that in the long run I think once inflation gets under control, we're going to see interest rates probably soften. I think we're going to go into some sort of like mild correction or recession. And I think that the Fed will do what it always does. Quantitative easing, lowering the interest rates, and you know, then you'll see that these home prices will hold steady. And that's my expectation for the housing market, near term, short term. Long term, you know, I don't know. Home prices tend to go up at the rate of inflation. So last year we had a situation where home prices went up 22%, I think, nationwide. Yeah, that's not the rate of inflation. The rate of inflation was called 8%. Well, we're exceeding inflation by 13%. So yeah, that's got to, like, all, there's a rule, there's a law of economics that says all markets will always go back to equilibrium, right? There's an idea called reversion to the mean, meaning it goes back to equilibrium. So if the average is 8%, we had a 21%, well, that means that probably you're not going to get a lot of growth in the near term because it's got to catch up. The market's got to catch up. So that's my take. I would say if you're waiting for housing prices to drop or some big collapse to happen, like, don't hold your breath waiting for that because you might end up passing out from lack of oxygen, because I do not see a huge correction in the housing market. I do think there will be pockets in the market, things where it's like that just doesn't make sense, where you see a house that was doubled in value that's in a mediocre to upper mediocre area or lower mediocre area, and you're like, yeah, that house is probably going to go down in value. Why? Because markets always go back to equilibrium, and it went up too much. The market kind of pushed it up artificially because of low interest rates. But outside of that, you know, if you're in a strong market, I live in Austin, Texas. My house went up a bunch in value. Yay, me. I don't care either way. I'm not going anywhere. But, you know, if you're not in some cool place like Austin or San Francisco or LA or New York or, you know, Miami or Nashville, then yeah, you're probably going to get a little softening. If we're in these cooler places, you know, too bad for you, yay for me. Home prices are going to hold steady because there's a lot of demand, the new people moving here. And what it comes down to at the end of the day is if more people are moving than are moving out, then you have more people there to take, you know, to compete for those homes. So, you know, you location. I would not worry about home prices dropping if I was in your shoes. And anyone that says that, they could take it up with me. I'm ready I will debate anyone on this. And I'll even go get my data points in a row, because I've looked up a ton of data on this. And the reality is there's just too much equity in these homes, and you have a shortage of housing. And as long as that persists with really good lending standards, which is more or less what we've had for the last, you know, 14, 13 years, then I think we're in a safe spot. With that said, hope y'all are having a great week and looking forward to our next episode of The Greatness Machine. Talk to y'all soon. Peace out. Love you.
You are listening to The Greatness Machine, and that's a wrap for today. Listen, if you love what you heard, subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform that you're tuning in on so that you don't miss any of our future episodes. We have tons of great people coming on, and we're stoked to have you here to enjoy it with us. Leave us a review. Tell us what you love most about this particular episode. We love getting the reviews. We love to see what you guys love most. And if this particular episode, you know, made you think of someone who's leveling up in their business and in their life, print screen, share it with them. Leaders are the best givers. And after all, we're all here to support and grow with each other. And in case you want to see some of the fun behind the scenes shots or some of the things that we're doing, I'm actually writing about this in my weekly newsletter. Go to www.therealdarius.com and subscribe to my newsletter. We're talking about fun things like business and life and mindfulness and cryptocurrencies and gosh, I don't even know, everything and anything, but it's tons of fun stuff I write about. I try to get it out on a weekly basis. You can subscribe at www.therealdarius.com. And with that said, look, thank you guys so much. Appreciate you. I love you. Peace. We're out of here. See you guys on the next one.